That year it feels as though winter will never arrive, the autumn lingering, unbroken through May and June and into July. The plants and birds are thrown into confusion. In the branches, parrots and pardalotes cry plaintively in the darkness of evenings instead of heading north to their winter homes. In the trees near their house, rosella chicks call urgently in their nests, a late brood that will surely die when the cold eventually arrives, as it must. Even the trees react unpredictably, the natives flowering spontaneously, months out of season, the exotics either keeping their leaves or turning in the most half-hearted way, their confusion lending the wooded approaches to the city a curiously piebald look. In the mountains, fires smoulder, the smell of smoke and ash never far away. Nor is it just the birds and plants that are unsettled. Late May brings a run of days in the mid-30s, hot as summer, the blue water on the beaches dazzlingly clear in the weak winter light, the holiday mood made brittle by the shared sense that, delightful as the weather is, something is deeply awry. Eve feels it too, a sense of hastening, a dislocation deep in the fabric of things. And then in mid-June, it changes. For a day, it feels like a storm is approaching, low cloud hanging overhead, the warm wind shifting uncertainly. Late that evening, Eve walks along the path behind the house into the forest. In the darkness, the landscape seems fitful, anticipatory. Overhead, the leaves whispering, the limbs of the trees creaking like the timbers of a ship at sea. Perhaps the animals feel it as well, because the usual cries and hoots are absent. But where the path divides, she hears a rustling and, quick as thought, a fox steps onto the path in front of her. It is close, no more than 3 meters ahead, and at first it seems not to have seen her. But then it turns, and for a brief moment their eyes meet and she feels its awareness focus on her. She stands, frozen in place. Like her, it is a visitor here, an alien, but that doesn't mean she sees anything like recognition or affection in its gaze. Instead, she glimpses another mind, one absorbed in the business of its life, to which she is at best an irrelevance. Then it turns, its attention passing over her and away, and stepping back into its vulpine world, jogs away down the path and into the undergrowth. Kate is already in bed when she returns, the house silent. In her room, she opens the window above her bed and lies down, the scent of the night air filling the room as she waits for sleep. The change arrives sometime around 3, a brief silence preceding a sudden blast of wind, the sound of branches whipping, a gate banging in the distance. Perhaps responding to some shift in the air pressure, Eve wakes in the moments before it strikes, and for a few minutes she lies listening to the wind, the passing of the warmth filling her with a curious sadness. And later, when she sleeps again, she dreams of the forest, the sleek shape of the fox moving through it,